tell me why you think his writing was interesting. He's really good. He's really good. I'm getting texts from him, and I'm getting texts from this friend that I set up in Istanbul saying, he and my Turkish friends are butting heads. It's great. He told us that you had an orgy with Mick Jagger and Daphne Guinness. Is this true?
Is it true?
Half true. Half true.
What, Daphne Guinness, but not Mick Jagger? What's the half of it?
Daphne Guinness. Long time ago.
Well, I'm ready for any of your orgies.
I'm very, very, very private. And
well, clearly, people are talking about your orgies with Mick Jagger and Daphne Guinness from this temple.
This is something.
I love when you say that shit. You're so full of shit. It's unbelievable. I'm private, baby.
No, but this is from a friend of mine who thinks he's texting me because he thinks I'm really prudish and really private. How come I never know about your boyfriend? How come I never know about any of this stuff?
Don't say it because you're private.
So it's funny. Okay, what was I doing? I wanted you to listen to this, which I thought was kind of interesting.
But anyway, what I'm saying, and then let me hear what your friend said about me, because it's all about me, baby.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Russell Brand?
Yes, very much so.
On addiction.
Yeah, and she's wonderful, and I'm glad that he's helping other people, but come on, dude. I mean, I get it. And I agree with him 100%, and I really do. And I think that most of what he's saying is absolutely true. But again, you know what? There is a lack of understanding of the reality of real addicts' lives. Russell Brand is talking to the addict that has the choice to even go to fucking rehab, that has AA in their neighborhood. I mean, you may think it's fucking ubiquitous, but the truth of the matter is that, you know, most of the addicts, and Russell Brand does not choose to hang out with the people that I hang out with.
Mm.
And I don't choose to hang out with them because they are the dregs of society and I'm doing some kind of like cultural fucking exploration or, you know, I do because that's where I find to be home in reality, for real. Mm. Not the drug, but the person. There's a truth to that. And most people are absolutely in the stratosphere we live in are appalled by more than anything appalled by the fact that I lived with a homeless person, not that I was doing crack.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, 100%.
Yeah.
Because they cannot understand once they literally, like, they see Robin, they hear Robin talk, they are aghast. Mm-hmm. Good people, by the way.
I mean, do you think, I mean, if your dad is running, let's play devil's advocate. If your dad is running, like...
Can we not do if? Not about anything. Okay. Because it doesn't matter whether he does or not in terms of whether I do this or not. It truly doesn't.
But I'm just saying that in terms of, like, if say that the worst possible thing that, you know, people... I mean, you know, if Fox News goes to town on this, for instance.
Can I give you a wait before you say it, okay? And I know that I'm talking, but it's important that I say this stuff. Because I just stop because I don't have the energy to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Your experience with Daphne Guinness, okay? You're private about it. And part of the reason that you're private about it is because, number one, it's your fucking life. But also the reason is because you do not want to expose a public person that entrusted you with their privacy.
It was maybe 10 years ago.
I know, but I'm saying this.
But I didn't tell anyone.
No, I know, but you didn't tell anybody as much because of you and the realization, but also because of Daphne, correct?
That is true. She has kids, yeah.
Okay, there you go. Daphne Guinness will literally be a fucking blip in a fucking radar fucking screen as compared to my presence if my dad becomes president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
She will be like a pimple on my ass in terms of the way in which people will fucking be on this. And you have no clue. I am Daphne Guinness already.
Yeah.
I'm more than Daphne Guinness. No one gives a shit about what you think about Daphne Guinness, honey, except the tattler. I was on the front page of every newspaper, including the fucking, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, not just the tattler.
Yeah.
And so my point is that I believe that's an opportunity to say the things and just show the things and to reveal the things through this project that we want to reveal. Mm. Because it literally gives it, because you will have attention. I think that the most important thing, if you are me, is to use your attention with intention. You will not get across to everybody. And I have figured out a long time ago, if you're going to be involved in politics the way that I am, which is to choose to engage with my father in that life, mm-hmm. because I believe in what he does. Mm-hmm. If you're going to, then you, one of your obligations is to use that platform with intent. Mm-hmm. It's to not allow the platform to sit on top of you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm allowing the platform to sit on top of me right now.
Well, what happens is if your dad becomes president, for instance, or if he runs, mm-hmm. it's a very, if I don't know if it will be exposed to that degree, but if it does.
Wonderful.
If it does, then it's a possibility for your dad to talk about drug reform and to talk about, and to push.
He's going to talk about drug reform and any other thing that I want him to. Mm-hmm. He'll talk about mm-hmm. anything that I want him to, that he believes in. If I say this is important to me, mm-hmm. then he will work a way in which to make it a part of his platform. My dad respects me more than he respects anyone in the world, and I know that to be certain. Mm. So it is not going to be about whether my dad thinks it's going to affect his politics. It won't. It's not going to be whether or not he's going to be embarrassed of me. He never will. Mm. It's not going to. All of those concerns that you have with all of the people that you know mm. That are the children of. Mm. I have none of them. Mm. Not a single one. Mm. The only one that I have is the knowledge mm. that it's a different world. Not by choice, mm. but I am understanding of that because the person that has lived that life, that has given me this life, mm. is the person I most admire in the world, and I would never change it mm. because it's bigger than me. Mm. Everyone else talks about how can you be as good as your dad? I'm better than my dad. Mm. You know why I'm better than my dad? Because my dad tells me I'm better than him mm. since I was 2 years old. Mm. So all of those fears that you think that I have of people not liking me mm. or that I don't love myself, and first I have to go down and you have to really care about yourself and understand and put yourself out there. Mm. Baby, have you seen me? Mm. Do I not put myself out there?
Mm. Yeah, I do.
I'm in all of it.
Yeah,
I put out there.
Yeah.
To you or to the homeless person. Mm. Mm. I don't fear that. You know why I don't fear that? Mm. Because the man I most admire in the world, that God to me, mm. thinks I'm a god. Mm. And my brother did too. Mm. And the three of us, it was literally, I had the support to know I can do anything.
What does he say about you doing crack? Does
he try? He says fucking stop.
Yeah.
And he's scared to death.
And what do you say? I mean, how does that affect you when he says that?
The same way that it would affect you if the person that you love most in the world wanted you to stop. Mm. And the realization that stopping, even for the person you love most in the world, is such a hard thing because it is look, it's not about whether or not I want to. Mm. It's about whether I really want to.
Yeah.
But what's really want to and what's want to and what is whether to make a choice or not a choice, and I don't know. This is a habit.
My friend.
Right now, I know that I don't want to stop now. But you never know, you never want to stop.
But that's the thing, it's like, you can always do it tomorrow, but tomorrow is always tomorrow. You know, tomorrow is always tomorrow.
When Philippa, for real, that's when you say things like that, I get it. Yeah. But you're not an addict, and so you have no idea that that is literally like fucking you telling me that you know the sky is blue, yeah. but you don't seem to realize it. I realize it. I know now is now, yeah. and I know how to do it. And I'm saying to you is that I don't know if I want to do it tomorrow. I don't want to know if I do it now. I don't know.
Because you don't want to stop.
Because it's fear. Yeah, sure, fear.
Because what happens if you stop? Then you have fear. No excuses.
Oh, yeah, I have a million excuses. You know I have a million excuses. Everybody has excuses. I don't have to use drugs as an excuse. You act as if drug addicts are the only one who come up with this idea that they're afraid because if they don't continue to use drugs, they're not going to have excuses. What a bunch of bullshit. People know that they get in their car in the morning, and if they don't go to the gym, they're going to end up dying of obesity, but they don't go. Why? Because they're afraid. They're afraid that they're going to be thin and they're going to be healthy and be going to be able to engage in life more. And they don't have any excuses not to do that.
Well, it's a mixture of things, isn't it?
But it's just the same.
It's habit as well. It's
habit. And habit is the biggest thing that's happening here. The fact of the matter is that I have not had the fucking reason to break the ease of the habit I'm in. And the reason is because I don't, like, what? Nothing has captured my imagination until now in this. And that's why I have to start to do it. Because what I'm realizing now is this, is that my choice to do this, the drug, is brought me to an understanding and allowed me to break from everything in the past. Have you ever thought about this? Maybe this is the greatest thing that fucking ever happened to me. Maybe this is literally the continuation and the continuum of what is going to be the thing that makes me the person that my father believes I am. Everybody says the person my father thinks I'll never become. For me, it's the person I know.
But at what point does that happen? Like, are you always constantly looking?
Well, isn't that the line?
Looking for this epiphany.
No, it's not. I've had the epiphany.
Crack pipe.
I've had the epiphany.
Yeah.
No, I've had the epiphany. I know now. But you know, you can have an epiphany and still be weighted down by the anchors that have created you. And you got to cut all those anchors. What are they? They're relationships. They're your everyday life. They're deciding to get out of the habit of going to the office every fucking morning.
Oh, there's a girl over there. She's like really in need, and she's really not really in need. She's like kind of hustling, and she's always got issues. She's always got problems. Like, I'm over there. That's what I need to be doing right now. Instead of focusing on this thing here, I need to be over there with this girl who's like making up stories, or there's another thing and another issue and another thing. You know?
Do you think that's what I focus on?
No, but it's very easy to be distracted by troubled people.
And you know what? I'm breaking all of it. I've even driven them away. This has even driven them away. They can't be around it. The homeless people can't be around it.
But why does it need to be to that extent?
Because I know this.
Why did you make the decision? Why do you let people
take control? Look at me. Because I'm not as... Because you know what? I'm not a heartless fuck like you are. No, really. I'm not a heartless fuck by 99% of the people that live their lives. No, listen to me.
I'm not heartless.
I can't look at somebody. Stop defending yourself and let me say it. I'm going to give you my answer and then you can say. Okay. The reason is because you are not as empathetic as I am. You do not have as much feeling for other people as I do. You don't care as much. You do not go out in the day and think about Robin, the homeless person. You let it go. And that may be, you think, the healthier way to live. I'm saying that I'm a fucking higher individual, fucking Philippa. And that I literally cannot go through the day without fucking figuring that out. And so I figure out that person's a fucking fraud. The reason I engage with them is not because they're a fraud or I have my penis, okay? Many times it's my penis. But here's the thing. I've had to break from it all. I have to literally have gone through the crucible of realizing that that worrying about Robin every day is to be eaten alive by Robin's need. I had to do that, though. Or otherwise, my heart breaks every day that I'm not doing it. I had to break for my wife. I had to break for my children. Otherwise, I will live my life for my children and my wife and my father and my brother and my mother and my sister-in-law and my niece and nephew. And I've done that my whole life. I've had to break every tie, not to be consumed by other people's problems, but literally I've had to break every tie so that I am not consumed by everybody's problems. Because that's been my whole life. I have never lived my life for me. You think this is living my life for me?
No.
This is living my life to literally... Here's the thing. Maybe. And this is where I get to choose my perception. Maybe I cannot feel guilty and like a fucking selfish fucking prick of a human being that's chosen crack and fucking motels over my children. If I believe that the person that I am and have been before, during, and possibly after, is an incredibly good person.
Can I ask you something? These people that you help, are they always like? Are they either people you do drugs with or people you have sex
never.
With?
Is there always never? That? I've never touched Robin. I don't do drugs with the girl.
But it's either one or the other, no?
No. 100% no. Absolutely.
But do you work in homeless shelters and stuff like that? Do you help?
I have homeless people live with me.
Yeah,
Philippa.
But you do drugs with them also.
No, right? I don't.
With Robin?
No, I did drugs with Robin, but that's it. I've had other people fucking live with me. I've had other people, homeless people, who are just plain out crazy.
I'm not asking you a question.
Yeah. Joanna. Joanna doesn't do drugs. She doesn't drink.
But you give her money.
No, I don't give her money.
So you give her £300.
Who?
Joanna.
What do you mean?
I thought you gave her money the other day.
I gave her money to be able to make it back to her house from the airport.
Okay.
But what does it matter?
Okay. No, I'm just...
No, I'm saying, though, you said, are there people that I do drugs with or I have sex with?
Right.
I don't have drugs or sex with Joanna.
We've never had sex with her.
No.
Okay. But she tries to have sex with you?
Never.
No.
She's so disinterested in me. If you want to know Joanna's story?
Yeah.
And don't ever write this. No. Joanna's story is that she was fucking abused and fucking sexually molested since the time she was 4 years old. She lived in her house with her mother, who she still lives with now, and a father, and four brothers. They traded her every day for her life until her father died when she was 16 years old, of which she has an infinity tattoo on her upper arm, her chest. And then her mother, when she graduated from high school, the day of graduation, kicks her out of the house because she said something about it to her mother. She lives by herself and literally from couch to couch for 3 years with her sisters, who are all prostitutes and dancers, and make their money of taking advantage of men, understandably so, and has stayed away from it and just literally fought to not do that.
And if by her spending time with you and then you giving her money, isn't that
funny?
Swapping her time for money with a man?
Her time for money?
Yeah.
She has no job.
Yeah.
She drives her sister around and literally lives on the couch in her mother's house.
Right. But if you wanted to help her, wouldn't it be better to set her up in school?
I did.
You did. And what happened?
I do that every time.
What happens?
I literally introduce her to 14 people. She'll probably go to school. Yeah. She'll have a project that she's doing, an art project that she's doing with a woman in New York that I introduced her to.
Yeah.
She is, I introduced her to an agent for modeling, like a real person. I never touch her. I never ask to touch her. I always tell her that she's the most beautiful girl in the world and that she can do anything that she wants and that she's smart. And that she went from being able to fucking sit here and I thought not have a conversation to fucking sitting here and reading the books that I brought home. And talking to me all day as I drive around. She drives me fucking crazy because she hates to be left alone because she watched ghost shows on TV and gets scared to death. You don't know me.
No, I'm asking.
No, I mean it, Bob. You don't. And so you make assumptions, Philippa. I'm not getting mad at you. I'm getting mad at everybody. Philippa, I mean it. And you think that I'm being so overly like this is like dramatic. I'm better than anybody you know. You have the exact opposite fucking impression. You think I'm a good person trapped by my fucking disease. You think I put myself in situations where...
How do you know what I think?
Because you say it every time.
Is
there anybody that you help that you don't do drugs with or have sex with? Isn't that saying something to me?
That was a question.
And I'm telling you, everybody.
Well, that's not true.
Honey, is it obviously I help the people that I do drugs with because I don't discriminate against them because I do drugs with them. Obviously, I would help the person that I made love to because I don't sleep with people I don't like. Who have I slept with?
I have no idea.
I know. But you assume, but by the way, all the time that all of these women that are in my life,
I don't know.
You say it all the time, Philippa.
I don't know who these women are. Actually.
You say it all the time,
when
Philippa.
You talk to me, you say, oh, there's this girl. And
Philippa,
this
there
girl.
Is not. Name one.
Name
other than Zoe.
This girl who you were going, who left her keys in your car. Yeah, I mean, who's she? Like, what is that? I
want to slam this down your throat so bad it's dying.
I know, but but that's another story because she was
really.
But why is Zoe putting you in a position where she's setting you up with somebody who's trying to scam you out of money?
No one's trying to scam me out of money, Philippa.
But this woman who left the keys.
Is it a scam?
You said it was
not a scam in any way. No. What are you talking about?
She is
a 24-year-old woman who's lived in parents. She literally gets kicked out of her house. She has an alcohol problem. She wants to get into a program. She has no way to get to it. Her parents don't want her to leave the house, which is stupid, or leave Providence where she is, or Newton. She's never going to get a chance to get sober, and she needed help to be able to figure out where to go, how to do it, and ultimately how to pay for it. And that's what she's doing. And I helped.
Okay.
And...
Sorry, that wasn't...
But Zoe knows that I would help do that. So she puts me in a position to help. Now, the thing that pisses me off, and I never should have even said anything to you, is that the motherfucker, as I do all that, she leaves her keys in my car. And she has a car to come pick them up, but she expects me to go to do it to her. Because people that are in that position, I have to remember, are ultimately, until they get better, are the most selfish people in the world. And I should not be surprised at the way in which they treat me.
Yeah.
They take advantage. They take advantage of someone who, without any expectation whatsoever of anything in return. Yeah. I do expect, though, sometimes, and get hurt by the lack of fucking respect.
Mm. Me too. I do as well.
So you know, my point is, your assumption is, and this is what I worried about the project, Philippa.
Yeah.
Your assumption even in that is that there is some type of quid pro quo that I have with these people that I help.
I asked you a question.
I know. It was a question.
I don't have judgments on you at all.
But you do have...
I'm trying to understand to get a full...
I know, Philippa. I'm not...
To understand, because I don't know. I don't know you. That's the thing. I haven't spent weeks and weeks and weeks with you. I'm trying to understand and I'm trying to learn. So I will ask questions, and maybe they're questions that you find difficult, but I'm asking...
I don't find them at all difficult. You know what I'm amazed by?
That I'm saying those things.
Can I play back that if we do this... Is a like when we do it, the tone of your voice when you say, "Well, tell me about the like, what about this girl?" No, I'm recording it right here. Is that bad? I thought I said we should record it. Is it the tone with which you said that? Well, Hunter, like for instance, it's like tell us, like what about this girl? Like what? Like it wasn't like, well, Hunter, I think that some people would assume. Because you're making assumptions, and it's not a judgment, but you're making assumptions about what's happening. Not judging it, but you're assuming that's what's happening.
I suppose because I met you...
It's supposed to be because I'm different than anybody you've ever met.
I suppose because I met you with somebody who makes money off men using their...
I did not realize that.
I met you through Zoe, who makes money from men. And that's... I didn't meet you through... a friend who makes her own money on her own, like doing something that she's, you know, through her education. She uses her body to get money out of men. That's how she makes a living. And that's great. I have no...
I understand. I understand. I've had this discussion with you a million times.
But you have to understand the context of, you know, and then when you say, oh, this girl and there was this girl and there was this girl.
Who? What girl and girl am I talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
There was some other girl that Zoe introduced, that you met Zoe through, who was, you met her, she's a sun tanning woman.
Alessandra, what about her?
Yeah.
She introduced me to Zoe.
Right.
What about her?
Yeah, but she was being mean to Zoe about her.
Oh, she'd been horrible to Zoe.
She's horrible to Zoe.
What does that have to do with me?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, why would...
Because she's in love with me.
Right.
Okay. She says it's because that Zoe stole her stream of dollars. I don't fucking support Alessandra.
Right.
That's Alessandra's way of saving face. Mm. But Alessandra's in love with me. That's why.
Mm.
She left her fucking husband who was abusive to her, only way I helped Alessandra was doing that.
Mm.
I got her a lawyer.
Mm.
I got her into a program. Mm. I got her her daughter counseling sessions.
Mm.
That's what I did. Nobody knows that.
Yeah. That's good.
I don't tell Zoe that.
Yeah.
But when she finds out that Zoe lied to her and did not tell her that, which I assume was the case, because I didn't think anyone's in love with me, including Zoe. I don't give a shit.
Mm.
I care about people, but I don't care about people. Like, I'm learning this, is that what I always know, but the only way to continue to be able to do what I do is to take the risk that people aren't totally about taking advantage of me. You have to allow yourself the possibility of that before you can help anybody.
You have to set boundaries because you do get taken advantage. I'm speaking from experience in that I don't set boundaries often and I get taken advantage of. And it makes me feel terrible. I feel terrible when that happens. Terrible.
What kind of instances are you?
Well, I have a big place in London and I have people staying there often.
Yep.
Sometimes I have Airbnbs staying there.
Yep.
Sometimes I have friends staying there. You know, and often, you know, so I would say 90% of the time it's a dream, but 10% of the time.
What does having an Airbnb have to do with doing anybody for anybody except yourself, and then not being taken advantage of? You're having a bad.
No, and then they'll say, "Oh, can I stay for an extra couple of days because I don't have any money?"
Okay.
And I let them stay for a couple of days, but then it's like, and then they're rude to me afterwards, and they're like shirty with me, and it's like. Why am I?
Because you did them a favor.
Because I did them a favor. It's like, why?
Winston Churchill quote. Everybody knows this.
What is that?
I don't know why so-and-so hates me so much. I never did them a favor. You do somebody a favor, I promise you, you're going to engender absolute resentment.
Yeah, what is that?
It's the fact that you've done something for them that they couldn't do for themselves, and they can never repay you for it.
Terrible.
They can never repay you for what they can't give.
Yeah.
And that's why it's always dangerous to do someone a favor if you are very sensitive to the idea that you care that they then shit on you afterwards. Why are you doing a favor? Did you do it so that they wouldn't shit on you?
Because they asked me. They said they were in need and they needed some help.
Yeah,
so I helped them.
So if they're asking you, what does it matter? You help because you help.
Yeah.
You help only from people that aren't.
Because it makes me feel bad when somebody's rude, like mean to me, and they say things like,
exactly.
You're a little impotent woman. You're a little impotent woman.
But you did do it to feel good, right? You did it to feel good about yourself.
No,
it just
made me feel self-righteous. Or that
well,
I was
self-righteous, but don't you feel the best about yourself when you do good things for people? Not yourself, when you do good things for other people.
No, I don't. It doesn't make me feel good. It's just because I can. I do it because I can, and it's not no skin off my nose, you know? Do I feel good about it?
The only reason we did things is just because we can, without any motivation or any fear.
Yeah.
Then you know what? Then I'd be robbing banks, wouldn't I? Because I can. I'd be stealing money from people because I can.
I mean, having someone crash in my spare room for a few nights or a few weeks, even as it's been, is like not a big deal.
You can't, and you know
but
you're doing something.
Then when they're like,
you refuse it. I mean, like I understand.
When they're like making extra work from when I'm like washing up after them, and when they're, you know, rude to me, and when I feel dissed by them, and it's not very nice. You know, it doesn't make me feel good that I let them stay in my house.
It doesn't.
No, it's an easy thing for me to do.
So then, kick them out if it's an easy thing for you to do. If it has caused more pain than help, then why do you even remotely do it? Because you can.
This is where I am at now.
So why do you do it?
Now, why did I do it in the first place?
Yeah.
Because I travel and I know what it's like. So, like, you know, and I'm.
Because you know it's a good thing to do.
Yeah, it's a good thing to do. And people have helped me.
And isn't it when you do good things that you feel best about yourself? When you do admirable things? Giving things? Don't you feel best about yourself when you're doing your art? Because you know that your art is a contribution. And the contribution that you make is the thing that makes you feel best about it, is that you're doing your highest work.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel good about myself. I think this is a problem.
Really?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I feel good about myself when I get up and I exercise and I work, you know, and then I kind of...
Yeah, because you're giving.
But I don't feel... It doesn't, you know, if I look after my friend's kid or if I help them out things, if I do them a favor, it doesn't make me feel good.
Really?
No.
Well, that's crazy. You know why? Because you never get in return what you think that you're supposed to get. Because what you're doing is, since you were a child then, I can tell you, as your psychiatrist, is that you never get back. You think that you never get back what you give.
Mm.
And so therefore, when you do a good thing, it's bland to you.
Mm.
So soon enough in your life, you're going to choose what your mother chose, is not to engage at all, except in the internal world of your art. And you're not going to care what people think. And you're going to say, it's because I have a tough fucking skin and I'm a real true artist and I'm going to do what I want to do. But Philippa, if we're not living to be of aid to other people through presenting our highest selves, then what the fuck are we here for? Except to do it because we can.
All I can do is be I can be a good daughter and I can be a good friend.
Isn't it fucking make
with
me feel
that,
better when you're a good daughter and a good friend?
Like going to my uncle's house. My uncle, who's an alcoholic who can't look after himself, I painted his entire house. I repainted the walls and the ceiling.
Because you could.
His entire house.
Because you loved him.
Because I could. I mean.
No, not because you could. Because you have an emotional feeling. You're not going into people's houses right now because you can and painting for them.
Do I love him?
You know your father had some at point have love for him, or your mother did. Whoever's brother he is.
My dad's not interested in him. My dad has no interest in his brother at all. Absolutely no interest.
So maybe you did it then to piss off your dad. I don't know, Phil.
No, my aunt looks after him, you know, and she asked, she's like, would you want to help? And I said, look, I'll just do it. And I did it, and I repainted the whole house.
Did you make your dad feel better?
I think I took a light off her load for sure.
Do you feel good about taking a load off your aunt's shoulders?
I would have felt bad if I hadn't. How's yes. that? Okay. I would have felt bad. Like, it's often...
That's what we'll call you feeling
yeah.
good. It's
yeah.
not
it's
feeling
not
guilty.
Feeling bad. Okay. It's not feeling guilty.
Yeah.
So, I... Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So if that's I don't weird, feel bad, you... like, normal is great. I don't particularly... Like, what makes me feel really good is if I've had no stress, no guilt, no drama. That makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Like, staying
out... You know, sometimes doing something for somebody else is for you. You realize... Doing something for someone else
yeah.
makes it so that you don't have any stress because you don't feel guilt. And you know what guilt is? Guilt is a fucking necessary and absolutely wonderful thing that the human mind creates. You know why? Because we should feel guilty when we don't do things that we can to help other people.
I mean, I've done, like, I had a guy, he actually...
You're giving me a headache.
He was horrible to me. I dated him for a couple of months, maybe a month or something. And he had a terminally ill uncle. And he went to see him one day and he told me where he was. And then I was with my aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, I just have to pop into this hospital. And I said, okay, wait a minute. I'll go and I'm going to go and visit somebody on one of the wards. And I go and see this guy. He's in a bed. He's dribbling. He's dying. And I spend 2 hours with him, talking to him. I get him an ice cream, you know. And then I do it again like 2 weeks later. I didn't know this guy. I didn't even like the nephew, but I did it because it's a fucking shitty, horrible situation to be in.
And you did it because you know.
But I didn't tell anyone about it.
I know, exactly, but you know. Look, by the way, I'm not talking about feeling good because you display it. You don't know fucking 98% of the shit that I do.
Yeah.
But you do it because don't you leave there and you feel awful for this human being that is suffering. But don't you? And it's the one thing that you know doesn't make you feel bad is when you do something that is not in your interest, that does not look like it's in your interest in any way.
Not my
for another person.
Way. I do that often.
Because what are our interests? Isn't that the question?
Well,
our interests are not the things that we think they are. The things that make us stress-free are the things that we don't even that we imagine are things that we didn't just do. Which is alleviate the suffering of other people. I guarantee you, if you spent your entire life doing that, you know what? You'd spend it in a stress-free fucking environment. If you woke up every day and you thought, what is the way that I can be of service to the rest of the world? And you know what? You are lucky in that you found something that you give to the world.
I mean, I come from a family of caretakers. You know, my whole family are caretakers. My mum was a teacher; she's a professor. My aunt was a doctor; she's a shrink.
I'm not talking about that though,
shrink.
Because I'm not. You can be in the field of the business of caretaking, but you don't necessarily.
But I grew up around like that's my moral code.
Well, no, but that's your obligation.
Around. I grew up around that. Like that was very much drilled into me. That you take care.
That was
of
a job.
People. No, it's more than a job. I mean,
okay, so therefore, Philippa, why did they do it?
I don't know, but it's
because Philippa, it's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do,
and
I
when
do
you
it
do
when
the
I
right
can,
thing,
but I understand how it's not what when I spend time with others, like when I've done people favors, when I've helped them out. And when I've been around these troubled characters, which is quite often when I have like quite a few like crazy Airbnbs coming in and I help them out and I do things to try and help them out, but it's exhausting and it's not like if it's easy for me to give them, it's easy for me to give them $20. It's easy for me to let them stay in my house for a few weeks. It's easy for me to like do a few errands for them. But when it's actively like chipping away at my psyche, where they're insulting me,
you're fucking running a homeless shelter through an Airbnb.
I am running a homeless shelter.
So, honey, what the fuck are you talking about? That you do this because you know it's fucking feels good to know that you've done something for someone, and it feels even better when they appreciate it. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, if you stop doing it because most people don't appreciate it, you'll never do it again. Because I can tell you from my experience.
Yeah.
The vast majority of people will never appreciate it to the degree which they should.
But that favor thing is crazy. That it's not
you know, it's the truth, isn't it?
It's
one of the most insightful things. And fucking
it's amazing.
Like that.
I've never heard that before. I've never heard that before. And it's incredible.
Well, from your own Winston Churchill.
Yeah, amazing.
And it's also, you know, the thing that I say is, so what do? Do you stop doing so-and-so a favor? No, you don't. What you want me to do is stop doing this X, Y, or Z. You know what? If I choose that, it's what I said before. I choose death for me, because life for me is not about me getting a better Airbnb. It's not about me having a new car to drive. It's not about me being able to go on a trip to London.
Yeah, but I have to put a roof over my head.
Isn't it wonderful when you can do both?
Yeah, but I have to pay my bills. I have to put a roof over my head, and I can't do that if I'm like stressed out.
Philippa.
I can't work if I'm stressed out, and if I'm.
And so you balance it.
I've got somebody shouting at me, being like, "You are an impotent little woman."
Hey, so isn't it then, Philippa? For real, isn't it? Haven't you figured out that, you know what, you can fool yourself into thinking that you're running an Airbnb?
Oh, it's not just Airbnb, it's friends then.
I know, so
you're friends from all over the place. So you think they're like staying there. Usually it's fine, but sometimes they just like.
But you keep doing it, Philippa, because you know it's the right thing to do. And you know that you would never be happy if the only reason that you made your art was to make money.
No, that's true, but I still need to make money, you know?
Of course, everybody does. Philippa, I'm not asking anyone to become Buddha.
Because then, if I don't make money myself, then I.
Philippa, you're arguing up the wrong tree.
And I have to compromise
with you. You're arguing up the wrong tree.
No.
So what do? You don't compromise. You stay true to yourself.
No.
With the realization also that you have to figure out an outlet for what is not selfish and not all about yourself. You have to figure out a way to be of service to other people, like you are to me, for instance. You know that as much as this is a valid project, is that you like me.
Sure.
And you know what? You also know that there's a chance of, from your perspective, quote unquote, like saving me, like taking me out of my fucking addiction for a moment.
You can save yourself, Hunter.
And there you go.
Only you can do this.
And there you go. And that is another one of the most bullshit motherfucking sayings I've ever fucking heard in my entire fucking life. And all of you fucking idiots who fucking say that, which is, by the way, 99%, so I'm probably the idiot. Only you can save yourself. Boy, God damn it. I'm down a well. I need a rope.
Yeah.
Someone's got to throw me the rope. Someone has to have fucking made the rope. Someone's have to heard my call and decided to stop by the well, Philippa. Saying to people that only you can save yourself, you know what? I'm the only one who can climb up the rope. But I need someone to throw me the rope, Philippa.
What's the difference between being like helping somebody and enabling them?
A big difference. What is enabling? It's knowing
when. I can give you love and I can give you support.
So here's the deal for Philippa. I'm living in the well. I'm at the bottom of the well. And you hear me calling, crying, please let me up. And you think, if I let him climb up out of that well, he's going to go start the same thing again. Are you an enabler of bringing me out of the depths of isolation and allowing me to climb up to make the choice for myself of whether I'm going to start again? Now, who's the enabler? People call the person that gives the rope an enabler all the time. And so the person down there sitting going, well, what the fuck do you want me to do? And they all yell down, only you can save yourself, Hunter. What a bunch of fucking bullshit. I don't want to enable you. Well, how am I going to get up? I don't know, but I'm not throwing you the rope. I'm not going to be the one. Do you see it? Is it not that simple? Yeah. Or am I the only one who can see that?
But then what do I do when you smoke crack in front of me? What am I supposed
to do? Honey, what you do is you hope that the other thing you're doing is sitting me here and making me understand and making me talk about the things of realization that this is the well. Yeah. You're the rope.
Yeah.
I have to fucking put my hands around the rope.
Throw it in the sea. Should we get for throw in the sea? That's what I really like to do.
Let me get my fucking, my head around. I promise you I'll go swim.
It's going to get cold though soon.
Maybe it's going to be freezing no matter what. It's fucking December. But don't you see that? That's the perfect fucking analogy. Have you ever heard someone say that before? No. Because all the experts and the people down in the well, you know what? They've been convinced. All the people on the top, they've convinced all the people on the top that you got to keep him in the well. Well, when will I know whether he can come out of the well? When he's reached bottom. Well, he sure sounds like he's at the bottom of the well. Nope. He's got to be all the way at the bottom. Well, you know what? He sounds better today, but he's still at the bottom of the well. When can I throw the rope? Not yet. You know why? Because we're charging him to keep him in the well. And there's wells all over the place, and you have an entire industry to keep them in the well.
But it's not a beautiful story unless you come out the well.
Exactly.
You have to finish the
story. And someone's got to throw the rope, honey, yeah. Because when you're at the bottom of the well, you don't see. It's all blackness. The walls are filled, and you know what? Here's the thing. And I'm going to climb up out of the well without the rope.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do. And that's the thing that fucking Russell Brand doesn't understand. And that other people, I'm not criticizing him. He's doing really good stuff. That people don't realize. You can't imagine, even with the rope, the fucking strength that it requires to fucking climb out and never jump back in. You can't imagine. And we sit here and we look at these people as if they are lesser than, as if they fucking are the lack of potential.
Do you want to talk about this on camera?
I'm on camera, sure.
If you want.
That's fine with me, I don't care. Anyway,
you don't have to smoke crack on camera. Thanks.
You know, where's my backpack? This. Shit. Have you ever read this?
Yeah, so good. Didn't I recommend this to you? I sent this to you.
No.
I did.
I promise you didn't send it to me. I got it from Keith.
I sent it to you.
I've never got it, then. I mean, which is amazing, by the way.
I sent it to you, and...
Sent it where?
I sent you a PDF of it.
I sent you
a PDF of it.
I never...
Yeah.
But then that's even more amazing, because Keith gave it to me.
Yeah, it's really good, based on Machiavelli.
Don't you think that's funny?
That I sent it to you and you ignored me.
No. that of all of the great thinkers that you could have sent me.
Yeah.
You sent me one that says that, at least by layman's term, Machiavelli, who basically says, "Do it for yourself."
Well, Machiavelli was the art of war.
I know. It's
and then not, this I mean, is the more
I thought you were saying too, that it's based
yeah.
upon
the, yeah, the, yeah. Yeah.
What I've actually been more interested
in. Should we get outside? Really?
Yeah, I do. It's plugged into that wall.
Oh yeah, I have my juice, that's supposed to be good.
What one?
This is supposed to be good. I never read it, so I'm going to read this. I don't know what this is, the order of time. Said the poem was emotionally true. Some select spell checking you perhaps needed. It was non-linear, which is good. Very good raw. So about the writing.
Who's that from?
Griffin, my friend Griffin, one of my friends' book.
What's the book?
It's from.
Here's the thing to do, by the way, with the camera. Okay. It should be of both of us.
Of me as well.
Yeah. Because this is a collaboration. This isn't you filming me. This isn't me coming up with my... Right? Wait a second. You know, that's bullshit. Total bullshit.
You just brushed the teacher up.
It's over there. You want the brush?
No,
just brush
right there. It's okay, it's fine. It's good, good. Okay.
I got to push up to put on my pants.
Okay.
What are you doing?
What do I want to do?
I don't know. But that's my point, for real. If this is just about filming me, then it is really truly you doing, like, you're like the scientist.
I'm an artist.
Yes, and so I'm supposed to be an artist too in this project. I'm not supposed to be a subject.
All right.
You motherfucker.
Can I have a glass of wine? I really
don't
know if I'll film.
Well, babe, it's your film. Erase it.
Yeah.
There's no bottle. Yes, there is. There's like four drawers, six drawers. Go to the other side. It's got to be there somewhere. Keep working. Not right there. No, down the drawers. Look at the drawers. Did you get it? French
style.
It's much better than British style.
So addiction, what do you do about it?
Nothing. We do nothing. We sit and drink and continue to do the fucking drug that we're doing. What the fuck? Well, I have an answer.
Yeah.
Thank you. Is this an interview? Okay. I don't know. What do we do
what
about?
What
do we do about guilt?
Guilt.
Yes.
This is something that I've had deeply ingrained in me since I was a child at convent school.
Oh, really?
I'm finding it
I just asked a question at randomly.
I'm finding it really difficult. I have to work on it. I don't know what to do. You know?
I do.
It's glass of death.
I know what to do about guilt.
What do you do?
You listen to it.
Take it down the dark alley.
No, you listen to it. It's shame you don't.
Well, you know, you can get so beaten down. Sometimes Sometimes I get guilty about not working hard enough. And then
good.
And then it becomes, and then work becomes...
No, then it becomes an obsession. It's not guilt.
No, it becomes a sense of... It ceases to be a pleasurable experience because
it becomes obsessive and it becomes like an addiction.
Because of the pressure that I'm putting on myself.
Yeah, because you can't stop
it. So then I have to go out, I have to leave, and I have to get out, and I have to go for a walk or do something else.
You go on a bender.
Or go on a bender.
Or you do something healthy, right?
Or you do something healthy, which is as good as going on a bender.
Guilt is not a bad thing.
Is doing something healthy as good as going on a bender?
You know what is the most, what's the easiest way for you not to feel guilty? Is when you do something for somebody else. And you know it. Your little Airbnb project, the Airbnb homeless shelter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the fact of the matter is, you do it not just because you can, you do it because you know it's something that you do for other people. It makes, it's a responsibility, you think. It's you alleviating your guilt. People should alleviate their guilt. Shouldn't they?
They should, yeah. Well,
everything too. It's, you know, everything in a way in which it doesn't become totally and completely obsessive to the point of doing them harm. Look, you can do, as I said, you know, it's proper to mourn. It's proper sometimes to be sad. You should be sad when someone dies. You should feel that. And you should probably feel it for the rest of your life if you really love them to the degree you did. But it doesn't have to become the thing that defines you.
What do you think about the Torah and how there's a guide on mourning? Various religions' guides on mourning, on how to mourn. Will you mourn for a year? And you can't be seen not mourning for a year. You have to mourn. You have to be seen to be mourning for a year. And then it's time to move on.
I think that there's a lot of things that make, number one, I love when you completely are impacted by the external environment to the degree that you become a different person with me.
Mm.
Like when you turn on your camera.
Mm.
For all you to know, this is not a fucking interview.
Mm.
I'm interviewing you.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Interviewing me then.
No. Act as if I'm your psychiatrist, okay? And ask
my psychologist. She's a psychologist. A Lacanian analyst.
I know what you're talking about.
She doesn't prescribe me drugs.
Yeah.
She's very good. She doesn't say very much.
Yeah. I say a lot.
Yeah.
I am a Hunterianist.
I'm providing the visuals for this project, and you're providing the text.
I know.
But it's not.
But the text and the visuals.
Neither of them are equally saying less or equally saying more.
I'm not responding to your visuals. Language. You're not responding to my text. You're responding to me, and I'm responding to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not only responding to you, but I am. This is what I think, and you've shown me what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Pipeline is that.
Mm.
It's an idea that we both had at the same time,
mm-hmm.
and came to meet each other to realize we both had a similar idea,
mm-hmm.
and to express it in some way. But what I'm saying about guilt and with you, and what I think that you don't understand about yourself, is that you do for me.
Mm.
You didn't have to choose me to do this. Part of the reason you did is because you think I'm interesting. Part of the reason you do, because you think I'm a fascinating to the degree of almost dangerous. And you also do it for another reason. It's because I think that you would feel bad about yourself as if you disengaged from me and I ended up dying or something like that. Not because of you, but you would feel bad. You would feel like, I wish I had gone to him in December when he asked me to, because maybe the distraction of the project would have been the thing to get him. I know that I don't control anybody, and it's not my responsibility, but maybe.
I had a friend who killed himself, and I tried to spend...
I have no intention of killing myself, Philip, for the 50th time. I have no intention of putting myself in a position to kill myself. Okay, I think you would feel bad if I just never did this. I think you would feel bad that you didn't engage with me to allow me to be the person that you think that I can be. I think that you would feel bad about it. it's not the reason you're doing it. I also think that you think if I do engage, it could be really incredible. So,
what do you want to get out of this project?
What do you want to get out of the project? Other than money.
Well, that's like. I'm like,
I gotta send you that
minus. I'm like in the minus so far with this project in terms of money, but I think I've always worked quite instinctively with the work that I make.
Yeah.
And I've always been quite trustful of things coming into my sphere, and I go with it.
Okay, so what do you want out of it? Now that we're in it.
I would like to make some beautiful paintings and a beautiful zine. Maybe a film, maybe a book.
Right. I mean, zine, right? I mean,
we're definitely doing that. That's going.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah?
I have a lot of questions that I ask myself and a lot of challenges and a lot of criticisms of the project that I've had to work through on my own, because you often were not around to talk to about it.
I think that's the biggest thing for you. I mean, from my observation, is I think, and I think this is a compliment to you, is that I think that when you, the questions that you ask me,
yeah,
are things that you struggle with yourself.
Absolutely.
So understanding, well, why did this person in my life do this? And why is it that I feel trapped by that? And why can't I understand why that person, I don't understand why they don't do their best work. Or why aren't they at their best health?
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't understand, why do you choose to do that, Hunter? What is it? You know that it's not good. What do you get out of it? Because I think also you struggle a lot with, what do you get out of some of the things that you do?
Often, I never think about that.
But isn't the way you think about it through your art?
For as long as I can remember, making work, living my life, I've never had ambition about what I can get out of it.
Yeah.
I just know that it's an interesting thing, because I'm interested in it, and I have a very short attention span. And when I'm interested in something, I know that it's right, because it's... I mean, making art and writing, it can never really be wrong, because it's a document of one person's experience on this planet.
Don't you think that you choose the things that you do, though? Maybe even subconsciously. Because
there's definitely
it alleviates what is your true intention, is to figure out why.
I think I'm very thorough, and I read a lot, and I look at a lot of different demographics and a lot of different cultures, a lot of different, and I have a wide demographic of friends. And when I think that something's amiss and something's unexplored, then that's what makes it interesting for me.
You don't understand, right?
Yeah, but I think the mycelium project was really interesting for me, because I can understand how this material wasn't more widely known about, why it wasn't used as a replacement for plastics, why it wasn't used as building material, why artists had never used it, hadn't used it to... They never used it. They'd never made...
But isn't getting answers about mycelium also getting answers about the fundamental questions of life?
It's about, I've always...
Why don't we all live like mycelium? Is it a real question that you're asking?
Connective intelligence. We're starting to, hopefully.
I know, but why aren't we as beautiful as mycelium is the question. Why aren't we as purely, seemingly good as that mycelium is?
I think we are. I don't think mycelium's always good. Mycelium digests things in order to produce...
What does it digest?
Rock. It digests bones.
It digests inert things, correct?
Yeah, it can digest anything. You could put it...
I know.
You could cover this...
What does it digest that's alive?
Oh, I mean...
What does it kill?
There's a specific type of cordyceps mushroom.
But why does it kill the mushroom?
Because the cordyceps mushroom will release its spores, which have a sweet taste that attracts insects.
Yeah.
Those insects then go towards spores, and they kind of, the spores get stuck on them. And then slowly the spores will start to grow.
Isn't it beautiful?
And they will insert themselves into the body of the animal, the insect, whether it's an ant or a caterpillar or a cricket. And then they will get into its brain, and then they will make the ant or the caterpillar or the spider climb to the highest possible point that it can. And then when it's at its highest, it will take over its brain. It will turn the ant or the spider or the caterpillar into a zombie. It will have complete mind control over it. It will make it climb to its highest possible point, and then it will sprout a fruit out of its head or its body. So you see these fossilized spiders or caterpillars or ants up a tree with a mushroom or several mushrooms sprouting from their bodies, and then it will release its spores because it's got a greater range to continue its life cycle.
Mycelium is
scary.
Totally beautiful.
Scary. Yeah.
No, is it?
I mean, that's pretty, that's the stuff
mycelium does
zombie
do that.
Movies. Mycelium does that, yeah.
Wait a second. Mycelium kills the mushroom that does that.
No, it kills the ant. It will kill the ant.
You told me that mycelium attacks
mycelium. Every mushroom has mycelium.
I know that. I'm saying, what does mycelium kill?
Right.
It kills
insects. It can kill
that carry this, right?
Yeah.
It carries insects that carry bad things to other things, right?
No. It will use an insect as a vessel to
do good things.
To continue its life cycle.
To continue the life cycle that required to let all of everything to live, right?
Yeah. It is nature's neural network. Without mycelium, like, the forest is one big organism connected by mycelium, and it grows into the trees, it grows into the flowers, into the organisms. So it's part of them.
Yep.
And it makes decisions about nutrients and oxygen, who should have which nutrients, who should have which sugars. And it swaps them amongst trees, amongst plants, has a symbiotic relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like Wikipedia, I suppose. You know, this collective intelligence, all of these things.
Have you seen what you've done
coming together
in this conversation?
What have I done?
You've totally retreated into a scientific monologue.
Yeah.
About mycelium. Purely from a clinical perspective.
Mm.
But why do you want to understand mycelium? Because don't you think, what does mycelium do?
I'm interested in what's not explored. I'm interested in what's hidden.
I know, I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay, you're interested in understanding.
Mm.
Why do you want to understand? Why do you choose things? Look, mycelium it's such an obvious answer to that.
Mm.
It's such an obvious answer to your art that I can't believe that you don't see.
Tell me.
You want to understand why we do what we do, why there is evil and there is good.
Mm.
What explains the reason that my ex did this or this person that did this? And you don't know it, but it is.
I always want to know this answer.
Yes, exactly. And it is you, amazingly, have chosen to do it through art and have found yourself doing it through nature and have found yourself being able to understand. You want to understand why I do what I do.
Mm.
Why you do what you do. Why does my father act the way that he does?
But I don't just want to understand it. I want to, crack scares me. I get scared when I see people doing hurting themselves. I get scared when I see people hurting themselves. Because I know what happens, people die. And
so what do you do? Why do you get scared? What does it matter to you?
Why do I care?
Why do you care about me?
I'm thinking, I'm trying to compare it in my brain, why do I care? I've shared moving moments with you. And I really appreciate
the only way that you would have shared many moments is if you cared. Why did you care?
I'm trying to understand why I care. Because I've been very moved by you.
Why? Why did you care enough to even get to that level of
I'm trying
communication?
To, my neighbour. I care about him. Why do I care about him? Why do I care? Well, he's not related to me. He doesn't give me money. He doesn't help me. But like, I'll take him out for lunch.
But doesn't he? Because isn't this mycelium? Mm. Isn't everything mycelium? Isn't isn't the pattern of mycelium the same pattern that runs through everything that we don't even recognize? As you keep saying, it's Wikipedia.
As a society.
And so mycelium can be as looked to be as neutral as Wikipedia, for instance, in terms of whether it's good or bad.
I think I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah, sure, it doesn't mean why you care about me, though.
Well, it does, because I think when I find the lie, I stop caring. I have a self-preservation. You know, like when I spot the lie, when I feel the lie, I cut myself.
No, but go back to why you care.
Mm. Because I care about everyone. I care about everyone, and I try and help them as much as I can.
Equally? And do you really care about everyone? Like, in terms of consciously care about everyone?
In the street, yeah. But then
why don't you do something for everyone?
Because you can't. Because I can't. Because that would be to the detriment of me being able to put a roof over my own head.
Exactly, right?
Mm.
So, obviously, do you think that you would contribute in any way?
Mm.
To the collective, is if you didn't care. Would that be a life to you? You said that, you know, you want to be able to, first take care of yourself. Does my psyllium first take care of itself?
You can, but I have issues with independence as well. I like to be as independent as possible. That's a gender thing. That's a political thing. If I was a man...
Stop with all of that bullshit. Does mycelium first take care of itself from any scientific perspective?
Yeah.
Or is it first perceived as taking care of the forest? And it does it by the example that you gave, by the dramatic example of that it is actually...
Mycelium doesn't have a nervous system, and it doesn't have empathy.
Sure it does.
It has... It
seems like it's the most empathetic thing there is.
It makes an informed decision to take water from an old dying tree and give it to a younger tree.
Yeah.
And it knows that it's like things that are intrinsic to its life cycle, then it will give nutrients to them.
Yeah.
But it's quite ruthless.
It's a communist.
Like, it's for the greater good.
Stop with that. So
mycelium is communist.
No, I know. But is mycelium... acting on behalf of the forest and everything around it, all life? Or is mycelium acting purely for itself?
I think it's acting for it's reliant on the entire network of the forest.
So, isn't that the question of what of life?
Why do I spend time helping homeless people or helping that lady who's fallen over?
Because you know if you didn't...
have nothing to gain
from. Listen, I'm saying exactly that. It's the question of life. Is mycelium helping... Is mycelium here to help itself, to help the forest? Is mycelium here only for its own lifespan? Mm. Or is it here to feed the nutrients and to be the brain that allows the entirety of the forest to survive?
Mm.
Is it a purely selfish fucking organism, or is it the most selfless organism?
But helping an old lady, or helping like...
How does it help?
Or going to see this terminally ill, spending hours with this terminally ill guy that I don't even know because I feel empathetic towards
them. Because if no one did what you did, if everyone stopped doing that, it would be a dead fucking world. And that's what I'm saying. If everybody only acted in self, if mycelium only acted in its own self-interest, without risk to itself, then there would be no mycelium because there would be no forest.
Mm. Mm.
It all dies if everyone stops caring.
Mm.
If no one gives anyone love and only lives for themselves, there's not a possibility that there is life in the universe.
But how are you able to give other people love if... Okay.
So here's the thing that is totally...
This is love to your family.
Understood. I know, but don't say first take care of yourself. I hate when people fucking say that. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. First, the only way that we're able to fool ourselves in, and the only way the collective is able to continue to exist, and it may be the fiction of all life from the beginning of time. And I either have to believe that what I'm doing, I believe the only thing I want to do is survive. There would never have been a fucking society. Babies would have eaten their fucking mothers. The nine pups that were born.
Have you been in that position? We weren't born in the favelas in Brazil. We weren't like born in like.
What are you talking about?
Poverty,
what does that have to do anything? And people,
you mean that we never know. We are privileged. We've never known.
What are you talking about? You've never known fucking struggle.
Yeah, but not like if you were born. If you're born in the favela, you would probably kill somebody to eat.
Of course.
Look after yourself.
Yes, I know.
You're not thinking, I better not do that because
But you also, you know what? If you're in the favela, you better not kill your fucking the person that is going to be your next meal. And so you have a degree by which people are acting. Everyone acts out of their own self-interest. Everything you do. For instance, when you say, I do people a favor just because I can. Bullshit. You do people's favors because you know, even if it's in the remotest part of your brain, I say, because I'm positive of it. This is ridiculous that I'm even having a good discussion.
Yeah.
We do things for others because we are doing for ourselves. The fiction is that we are created as organisms to do things, to think that there is some sort of like something higher than self-preservation.
Why do I help?
Because we get fucked up in the head. We get totally fucked up in the head. And we don't know. What is it for myself?
I just think if you can do it, if it's easy to do it, you do it. If it's like easy to do, you do it. If it brings a whole...
Why? Because nothing is easy to do, and you've proven it. Is it easy to do what you do with Airbnb? Because you said it's the biggest stress in your life right now.
Yes. It is.
So why keep saying the only reason I do it is because I can and it's easy to do?
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about... Like...
Name one thing that has been easy that you've done, that you're talking about easy, that you do, that is not clearly for yourself, that in the end of the day is not something that has become very, very important to you.
Well, like going to visit this Tamil guy that I didn't know and spending hours.
You're talking to me about it. It's not incredibly important to you in terms of you understanding for yourself why you do that. You did it because you felt the need to be able to be of service to somebody else who's dying. And then you realize that guy's dying and he's all alone. And then you realize, like, holy shit, can I imagine that myself being that person?
Yeah.
And why do you do it? It's your own self-interest to know, to hope that when you're that person lying there, that someone's going to come and see you. Because you don't want to believe that you could be a person that lies there and dies by themselves. And you know when you do it for him, you're giving yourself the hope that someone will do it for you. Everything that we do is a self-interested act, even if we don't know it. However, you choose to do it because you choose goodness, because you know...
It's how I was raised, you know?
Honey, it's not how you were raised.
It's how I was raised.
Really?
It's how I was raised.
Did your mother go... Is your dad going to his brother?
What?
Is your dad going to his brother?
No.
Has your mother come out of her malaise?
But
really, it's how you were raised. You're so full of shit. Every single thing you've said to me is you were raised with that as being a moral code. That's what they told you to do. And they have been caregivers.
My aunt runs around people.
Which one? The one in India? The one in Dubai?
No. My aunt, who's a shrimp. My father's sister. She looks after people. You know, she has all these clients.
Don't ever talk to me about her having a client.
They'll stop being her clients, and then 2 years afterwards...
But they were a client.
They were a client once. Or she helps people all the time.
Then good.
She just bought a car for my uncle's friend, who's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Who, like, drives, you know...
Yes.
To help him out.
And so she's great.
She's great.
Yeah.
She does things.
So your aunt lived a life in which was an exemplary to you, right? So what are you talking about then? Does she say the reason that she does it is because she can, or is she doing it because she thinks it's a higher purpose to act that way?
I don't know. I've never asked him.
Text her right now and say, why do you do good things, Auntie? Text her, for real. Why do you do things that I see as being completely not in your interest but are good to other people? What is the reason? What's your motivation?
She gets treated really badly.
Ask her right now. And she's going to give me the same answer you do, which is going to be the reason why I'm going to say you should have your license taken away. And we should, I mean, seriously, what time is it over there?
It's late. It's 9. Are you free?
No, just ask her by text. That would be more interesting to read what she says.
All right, okay. I'm having a conversation. She'll be like, what? Why do you help people? What's the question? Why do you help people?
Why do you do things for other people that you know aren't directly in your self-interest? Why do you do good things that you know you will not get any, obvious return from? That I don't see you as being getting anything out of.
Why do you do things? Why do you do good things for other people when?
That I don't. Just say from your perspective.
I don't want to be offended. You have nothing to gain from. All right, let's see what she says.